Yeah, absolutely. So I think from the investigation we started off, we knew obviously the bodies had been found in the suitcases in Bristol, and then we identified that the murders actually occurred in Shepherd's Bush. As we went through the material, we uncovered through CCTV, there was huge amounts of digital evidence that we were going through with laptops and mobile phones, etc. And then obviously, as you say, finding the actual video of the killings and the filmings that were taking place in the flat was a really shocking moment, seeing that.
And how did you find out about his relationship with the victims? How long did it take to sum up on that?
So again, that came out within the first few days of us taking the investigation. We realised that there had been part of an ongoing relationship, and that Mr. Mosquera had actually been living with the deceased for approximately a month before the murders were committed.
And we heard his claims that he was kind of abused, this kind of thing. Do you think he'd planned this from possibly before he even came to the UK?
I think possibly beforehand. Certainly whilst he was in the UK, we've seen evidence that indicates that he was looking at a financial motive for this, of how much the flat was worth, and obtaining details of their bank accounts, etc., in the weeks prior to the murder.
So to be clear, like, his motive was just pure greed, financial gain, he's looking to take advantage.
I think from what we found in the evidence, yes, there seems to be a financial motive to the crime, to the murder.
What can you say about his behaviour? You know, his evidence about him dancing, singing after committing these horrific murders and so on. Can you just describe some of his behaviour?
Yeah, absolutely. So, as you say, the video that we found of the murder is really shocking. Within seconds of the murder, there is he appears to dance, sings a short song, and immediately after that, whilst Mr. Alfonso is still lying on the floor, he's straight on the computer and starts searching for going into financial accounts and logging into bank accounts, etc., within seconds of the murder.
And do you think he was completely detached from reality? I think the address was on one of the suitcases. The idea that, you know, it's almost impossible to throw these suitcases over the suspension bridge.
There were certainly lots of elements of it that were that he hadn't taken any effort to cover up what he'd done. As you say, there was an address label still on the suitcase for 49 Scots Road, where the murders took place. Clifton Suspension Bridge has numerous CCTV cameras and security there, so it's a really open, obvious area where you're likely to get captured. So yes, there was and he'd used. He had his own phone with him still. He'd gone himself to withdraw money from their bank accounts. There were some, very, very strange actions for somebody if they were trying to cover something up, certainly.
So what do you think about the fact he's put everyone through a trial? He's not confessed to, you know, his crimes?
Yeah, absolutely. So he's, he's still, as you know, denying the murder, excepting that he'd killed Albert, but because he'd been coerced and controlled throughout, and he's put the family and friends of the two victims through a trial. When from the evidence we say he has been found guilty. So.
And you know, you don't really know why he chose Bristol Suspension Bridge. Do you think he was just panicking?
We haven't found any clear reason why he's gone down there at all. So originally he'd booked a van to take him down to Brighton, where we know he had been with Paul and Albert earlier that month. He then changed the location to Bristol. We don't know why he did that. He had no real links to Bristol that we've been able to identify.
And when he got there, there were members of the public who actually saw him, filmed him. I believe, can you talk about sort of his interactions who actually helped him with the bank who wanted to come to his aid?
Yeah, absolutely. So he was originally dropped off by the van that took him down there with the suitcases outside a pub. And there were some members of the public who'd been in that pub, came out, originally tried to help him, could see he was struggling with these two bags. There was one couple who were in the pub had tried to actually help him, had offered to drive him over the bridge. He'd said he needed to get to the other side of the bridge, had offered to take him over to the bridge with the suitcases. And they simply couldn't lift them into the cars, so helped him to order the taxi that eventually did take him over, using Google Translate, because they couldn't communicate to him because he only spoke in Spanish.
And they were obviously very shocked when they found out.
Yeah, absolutely. They've been really traumatised by the whole thing, obviously now understanding what had happened afterwards.
And is there anything else you want to say? Any message you want to put out there?
I'd just like to sort of pass my thanks on to the whole team that have investigated this. There's a huge amount of work that's gone into this investigation. And again, my condolences to the family and friends and loved ones of Albert and Paul, who were brutally murdered in their own home.